All right, good morning. What's up, guys? How are we doing? I love that. Well, man, it is good to be with you guys. It's fun. Guys, to start off today, if it's okay with you guys, I would love to tell you a joke. Are you okay with that? All right, here we go. Here's the deal. It is kind of a dad joke. I don't know if you're going to like it, but bear with me. Here we go. You ready? Here we go. So here's the joke. So one day there's a man. And this man is a Christian. He's a believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he decides one day, I want to go deep sea fishing. And so he gets on this little boat that he gets. He goes out into the middle of the ocean and he starts fishing. And then pretty soon into his fishing, a big wave comes and it actually tips over his boat and sinks it. So this man is treading water in the ocean. But because he's a Christian, he prays. And he says, Lord, I believe that you will save me. Would you come down out of heaven and save me from drowning? And as he prays that, another fishing boat comes by and they throw him a rope and they're like, hey man, grab the rope, climb on board. And the man says, no need, my God will save me. And the fishing boat's like, all right man, suit yourself. So it goes off. So then he keeps swimming and he starts to get a little tired and he's like, Lord, I'm getting tired, but I still believe that you will save me. Would you supernaturally perform a miracle and save me? And as he's praying that prayer, a cruise ship comes by. They throw him a life raft. They're like, hey man, grab the life raft, climb on board. And the man says, no need. My God will save me. The cruise ship people are like, suit yourself, man. So they go off. So now he's getting really tired. He's starting to go under a little bit and he's like, Lord, I don't know where you are, but I still believe you will save me. Come down out of heaven and supernaturally save me. As he's praying that prayer, a helicopter comes by, throws down a ladder. And they're like, hey man, grab the ladder. We'll pull you out. The man says, no need. My God will save me. And as he prays that last prayer, the man drowns. Yep. And because he's a Christian, because he believes in the gospel of Jesus, he goes to heaven and he meets God face to face. And he sees God and he's like, God, I thought you were going to save me. Why didn't you save me? And then God looks at the man in the face and he says, well, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. And that's the joke. That's the whole joke. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Yeah. To be fair, that's not my joke. I found that online. But the reason I tell you that joke is because I think a lot of times we search for God. Like, we want to see God, right? And we're like, Lord, where are you? Show me yourself. Show me your love. And the reality is God is at work everywhere. And God is at work in you. And we just don't see it. And so today I'm closing out the series, We Over Me, which has been a series on biblical community. Why, or how do we live in community the way the Bible tells us? But to close today, I just want to answer one question that we haven't really talked about. And that question is why? Okay, why should I choose my friends wisely? Why should I choose to live in accountability? Why should I be authentic with my friends? Why should I forgive others in conflict? Because here's the deal, I think most of you know the how. If I asked most of you, hey, how are we supposed to live with each other? How are we supposed to do community? I think most of you could give me the right answers. You could tell me all the things we're supposed to do. But I am not as concerned with if you know the how, if you don't know the why. And I think the reality is if I asked most of you, hey, why do we do those things? I think most of you would say, well, this is kind of what you're supposed to do. Like, that's what the Bible says, I think, so that's why we do it. And if that's your motivation, then one, I don't think you're going to do it. And two, you've missed the point. You've missed the point of why we even have community. And so my hope is that after today, you would not only understand why we've challenged you to live in community, but because you understand the why, you're actually motivated and compelled to do it. And so after searching scripture, I've got one bottom line truth that I want you to walk away with today. This is the one thing I hope you remember, and this is it. Your created purpose is to be in relationship, first with God and then with others. I'm gonna say it again. Your created purpose is to be in relationship, first with God and then with others. And so to start to break this down, we've got to start with God, okay? And specifically, I want to start with asking this question. What did God have in mind when he created you? What did he have in mind for you? So if we go to Genesis chapter 1, it actually tells us that God created us in his image. And we've talked about that a little bit before here at Wake, but the truth is we don't have a 100% clear understanding on what exactly that means. We kind of have a picture, but we don't have the full picture. However, Scripture actually gives us an example of something else being in someone's image that I think helps us understand what that truly means for us. And it's only a couple chapters later in Genesis chapter 5. So I'm going to read that for us. It says, "When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God," or the image of God. "He created them male and female and blessed them, and he named them mankind when they were created." And then here it is. "When Adam had lived 130 years, he's old, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth." So what's the example of having an image, being in someone's image? It's a father and a son, like Adam and Seth. That's the example we're given. So what does that mean for us? What that means is that when God created you, his intention in creating you in his image would be that you would be like a son or a daughter to him. Like, that's the hope. Like, when God created you in his image, he said, "I want to be like a father to you." And that's why we get that picture of Adam and Seth. Now, unfortunately, if you know the story, you know that that fatherly relationship we had has been separated because of sin, where we're actually no longer children of God, but we're slaves to sin. Ephesians 2:3 actually says that we were by nature children of God's wrath, which is not a great place to be. But that is not the end of the story. Jesus comes, he lives, he dies, and he's resurrected from the dead. And because of that, he made a way for us to get back into that fatherly relationship we were made for with God. Ephesians 1:5 says it amazing. It says, "God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure." And then 1 John 3:1 says it equally as well. It says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. You see, God's purpose in creating you and in saving you was so that he could be like a father to you. So that's the first thing I want you to walk away with, is God's desire and your purpose is that you would be in a relationship with him as your father. His desire and your purpose is that you would be in a relationship with him as your father. So you're created to be in a relationship with God, but what about others? Well, because we're God's children now, if we have a faith in Jesus, that begs a question of, well, then what do we do as God's children? But I think you guys kind of know the answer to that. Like, we pray, like we spend time with God and pray to him and talk to him and worship him. We read our Bible and we learn about what's God's will for our lives and how do we understand him and how do we live for him. But an equally foundational part of being God's son or his daughter is that you would live in community. And so if we go back to the beginning of the Bible, we actually get a verse that talks about this. And when we go back to the beginning of the Bible, there was a time when it was just God and Adam, just one human and God, and there was no sin. It was perfect. Like, there's no sin, no death, no pain, no nothing. It's just God and man. And yet, God says this in Genesis 2:18. He said, "And the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone." It's not good. And remember, creation is perfect at this point. There is no sin. There's nothing separating God and his relationship with Adam. And even in the midst of perfection, God knows that isolation is not good. Think about like a team sport that you might play, like football or basketball or volleyball or something like that. Those sports were created to be a team sport. Like, they don't work if there's only one person playing them against another team. Like, that's not how they were built. And you are the same way. Even in a perfect world, God knows, because he created Adam, you were not built to be alone. And so we see in other parts of Scripture where it actually talks about the result of isolation. Grace read this verse earlier. It's Proverbs 18:1. "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire, and he breaks out against all sound judgment." In Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, it says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Even Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 4, when he's tempted by the devil, why do you think the devil brought him to the wilderness? So that he would be alone. That's when Jesus was tempted, is when he was alone. And the same is true of you. 1 Peter 5:8, it says that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And you are most vulnerable to be devoured when you're alone. So here's the deal. That leads me to something. Because I think some of you here today are like, well, Luke, here's the deal. I got lots of friends. I go to small group. I come to wake. I do, you know, extracurricular activities. And yet I still feel alone. I still feel isolated. So what am I missing? You say that I'm supposed to be in community and you say that that's my purpose. And I think I have that, but I still feel alone. So what am I doing wrong? And if that's you, let me be the first to say, I don't know exactly your story. I don't know what your life looks like. And so I can't answer that with confidence. But here's what I can tell you with confidence. The reality is for us as believers in Jesus Christ, to be in community is more than just having good friends. It's more than just people with common interests. It's more than just having people that make you feel good about yourself. That's not community. 1 John gives us a great picture of what true fellowship really is. 1 John 1:5 through 7 says this. This is the message we've heard from him, Jesus, and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But here it is. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. You see, God's desire and your purpose is to be fully known. This is what Ryan talked about 2 weeks ago, the idea of being truly authentic. It's being fully known that in order to have true fellowship with God and others, we can't live in hiding. We can't hide our fears or our insecurities or our struggles or our sins. That's not community. That's not fellowship. True fellowship is being fully known, first by God and by others. But there's more. It's not just being fully known. If we continue in 1 John, we go to chapter 4. It says this in 7 through 12. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is it. This is what I want you to not miss right here. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. You see, because you have been made a son or a daughter of God, you now have the privilege, the ability, and the responsibility to now spread that same love to the people around you. Let me ask you guys a question, and I want you to don't answer it out loud. Just think about this. What is the number one way in which God displays his love in the world? Think about it. Is it sermons? Is it church? Is it podcasts? Is it the Bible? Like, what is the number? Like, when you think in your own life, when you're like, Lord, I just want to know that you love me. I want to see that you love me. What's the number one tool God uses to do that? And if you don't know what it is, let me read you this verse again. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. Guys, the answer is you. You are the tool that God most prefers to use to display his love in the world. It's you. And so when you choose to live in community, when you choose to be fully known, you choose to hold others accountable, you choose to forgive, you're not just doing community things, you are actually displaying the love of God the way you were made to. So that's the third thing I want you to walk away with. God's desire and your purpose is to love others the way God does. That's part of why you were made. Like, you were made to be an instrument of God's love. And the way that you do that is in community. And it's not just showcasing it. God actually uses you and uses you with his love to actually do his work in the world. James 5:16, it says this, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Praying for each other is not just a nice thing to do. It's not just a nice sentiment. Like, it's powerful and effective. You are the tool that God wants to use to display his love in the world. That's why I made that silly joke. Like, the man was like, "Lord, why didn't you save me?" He's like, "I sent the best thing I've got. I gave you my people. That's the greatest testament of my love for you, is the people that I've placed in your life." And then the same is true of the opposite, that your job, your responsibility, your privilege, and your purpose is to display that same love to others that you've been shown by being made a son or a daughter of God. And so, guys, this is why we've challenged you to choose your friends wisely, because we want you to experience the love from them in the same way that God loves you. This is why we've challenged you to hold others accountable, that you might bear their burdens the same way God does. This is why we've challenged you to forgive others in conflict, because when you do that, you forgive them the same way God does. You display, showcase, and help them experience his love. And the reality, guys, when we're committed to this, when we're truly committed to being fully known, to loving others the way God does, and we're living in community with others who are committed to it, it's actually a glimpse of heaven. Revelation 21:3 and 4 says this, which is prophecy about the end of times. It says, "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.'" And so being with God and others without sin and in love, like, that's heaven. Like, that's what we're waiting for. That's what heaven is going to be. And we get to display a glimpse of it here on earth by doing community. And so I want to give you a read, reflect, receive as we close to think about throughout this week. And the read is the two passages from 1 John. 1 John 1, 5 and 7, or 5 through 7, which is about being fully known. And then 4, 7 through 12, which is about loving others the way God does. And then I want you to reflect on this one question this week. What's one way I can love the people around me the way God does? Another way you could say that. What's one way I can love the community I have the same way God does? And then the receive is the thing I told you at the beginning. Your created purpose is to be in relationship, first with God and then with others. That's why you were made. Like, that's why you exist. And so that's my prayer for you, is that you would leave not just thinking that community and small group and having Christian friends is just about having common interests, laughing together, doing stuff you love. That's all great. It's good. I want you to do that. But that's not community. Community is being fully known and displaying the love of God, because you've first been loved by God by being made a son or a daughter of the King. That's your lot. And so my prayer is that you would get that and you would live it out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that shows us what it means to live in community. God, thank you that, first of all, you've made us a son or a daughter if we have a faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's anyone here who's not a son or a daughter because of their sin, Lord, would you reveal your love to them? Would you show them how much you love them, that you gave Christ to die that they might be your son or your daughter? And would they believe that, put their faith in that? Lord, would you help us to commit to being fully known and committing to loving others the way you do? Would you help us understand and believe that freedom and fellowship is found in full authenticity, and that your love is brought to full expression in us when we love one another? Would you help us believe that? And would we be compelled by your love to live it out? We love you and pray this in your name. Amen.